I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from Romans 12, 9 through 21. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord bless the reading of His Scripture.
Thank you, John. You know, this scripture that we just heard from John, it's amazing how many people can read scripture such as this and not even pay attention to what it actually says. It makes you wonder, you know, what they're really thinking in terms of being a Christian. You know, most of us have goals. Whether that goal is to be a millionaire, a lot of young people, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 30. Or maybe that goal is I'm going to have a house or children. Whatever that goal is, we all have goals. Some of us have more than one. But goals are important. It's important to shoot for what you want in life. And as Christians, you would hope, I would think, that the goal is to be the best Christ-like person we can be. You know, not talking behind people's backs, not being rude, not being unkind. We're going to be the people who support and who love. Now, for those of you who were kind enough to read my From the Pastor article last week, one of the things I talked about in there is what Paul talks about here, love. But not just any kind of love. Paul's talking about agape love, which most of you have heard about. You know, agape love is an all-encompassing love. It actually bespeaks of the love that God has for us. And in the Christian life, if we take on that agape love, we are to reciprocate to God that love as well as to one another. Remember what Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's agape love that he's talking about, an all-encompassing love, a love that is transparent, a love that reaches out. This passage is so important and has so many aspects of what it means to be Christ-like that we're only going to focus on one, because we could do at least seven, maybe even eight sermons just on this. But we'll focus on this, being one with Christ. So let us begin. Paul says, let love be genuine. Genuine. Which is another way of saying agape. Let it be the kind of love that is all-encompassing. That word, agape, actually was very rarely ever used until Christians came along, and it gets used a lot since then. But it's the kind of love that is self-sacrificing. Is your love self-sacrificing? Not just for God, but to those around you. I never truly understood what it meant until I went to Brazil as a missionary. And I was there for a little over 3 years. And when I got there, what I saw was horrific. I thought I'd seen a lot 7 years in the Navy, but I hadn't seen anything like this. There were children from 18 months, even younger, up to 9 or 10 years old, walking the streets in their underwear. Now you may think, well, it's Brazil. I got news for you. I was in Porto Alegre, the southern part of Brazil, and there, when my plane landed, it was 28 degrees and raining. And these children are out walking the street, barefooted, nothing but underwear, literally, walking. So I look around and I think to myself, why aren't people taking care of these children? Well, Brazil, the government, had a milk program where they gave free milk. Doesn't really keep you warm, but it keeps something on your stomach. But you know, here's the problem. They ended that program 1 year after I got there. There wasn't even milk for the children. So I look around at the people, and the people walk by these children, and they don't even stop. They don't hand them a candy bar. They don't do anything. And what I think is going on, I want to say, they just had no love. There wasn't the kind of love that reached out. But what was really going on is apathy. Well, there's so many of them that we can't help them all. So they didn't help any of them. Over 8 million street children. One of the tasks that I had, and you've heard me talk about this before, is to go under the bridge, all these bridges, go under the bridges, find these children, because that's where they slept most times, and get them some food and clothing. Unfortunately, oftentimes when I got there, they were dead. Self-sacrificing love. If you're one of these people in Brazil that does have money, you do have means, and you're not helping, what's up with that? Where's the agape in that? Where's that self-sacrificing love? First time I went to the market downtown Porto Alegre, there was trash stacked as high as 8 feet. Just a huge pile went up into a cone. And there were children all over that pile digging for food. You would not believe what they were eating. And all I could think is, where are the people? Where's their love? Why aren't they helping? Let love be genuine. That's what we're talking about. An agape love, a genuine love, where you are willing to give up what you have to help those in need. You know, I heard in a John Wayne movie, of all places, this line. And it came from Anna Boleyn, a great actress of the time. But she said in this movie, she said, all around the world, people are saying, I love you, when actually what they mean is, I desire you. That's pretty profound and true. You know, oftentimes we say, we desire you, Lord. That's what we're really saying, rather than I love you. We desire you, Lord. But, gosh, I may have to make a sacrifice to follow you. I may have to actually change my ways. I may have to become a new person in Jesus Christ. Heaven forbid. I like me the way I am. But that's what we're called to do. Can you imagine saying to God, I desire you, instead of I love you? If we love someone or something, we should, and let me say that again, we should possess them in our hearts, hold them in our hearts, not possess them physically, but that should be our love. That's what we want, is somebody right here. That is, hold them dear to us. What Jesus says, It's what Paul says. Here are some elements of love. I want you to think about this. We've only to look at our scripture today and see what the elements of love are. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's part of love. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. That's love. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Have you ever cursed someone? Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all, meaning in the eyes of God. Never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. In other words, let God take care of it, not your job. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. How many of you have enemies that you would do that for? And practice this love that Paul and our Lord talk about. And then it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I told you, genuine love is hard. Who do you genuinely love? Who do you genuinely love? Let me add a few more things, and this is what we use in counseling. Many of my colleagues and I, when we talk to married couples, or boyfriend and girlfriend, or family members, we talk about this. Love is not distrustful. If you don't trust the person you're married to, why are you married? Love never says, you owe me. You know, I married you and put you in a house. You owe me. You can't be mad at me, or you can't leave me because look what I've done for you. Is that love? Is that love? And love never threatens. You cook my eggs wrong one more time and I'm going to backhand you. Is that love? But trust me, it happens. It happens in households. And remember these words from Paul also. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's how Paul put it, which is right in line with what our Lord said. Love never ends. I told you love is hard, didn't I? Who do you genuinely love? When I worked in foster care and I helped children find homes after they were abused and pulled out of their homes by CPS, I saw things that I rarely ever talk about this, and I don't even know if I can talk about it now because it weighs so heavy on my heart. I saw and heard things I don't even want to think about. But I'm going to share with you because you're going to see, if you haven't already, things like this in your lifetime. One of the first ones was a 5-year-old boy. Was helping to find a home for him because the 5-year-old boy kept putting his hand up on the stove. So dad got mad, turned the burners on high, and held his hands down on the burner. Asked him why. He said, because I love him and I want him to learn a lesson. That's not love. That's not love. And it sure isn't genuine love. He wanted to teach him a lesson, so he burned his hand so severely that I took him out of the hospital to find a place for him. But just as bad, a little girl was going to help her find a place to live because her mother had tied her up and put her in the basement. Left her there for days without food or water. When asked why, she said because she wouldn't act right. And I love her, and I want her to learn the right way to act. The child had autism. The mother never knew it because she never took her to the doctor, never had her diagnosed, never helped her. She just tied her up and put her in a basement. Is that love? When someone says, I love my child and I want them to be good, so I abuse them, is that love? Love is hard. Love is hard, especially if a child learns that love should involve pain and suffering of a physical kind, emotional. Paul says we should bless those who persecute us, that we should overcome evil with good. Love is hard, and Jesus taught that over and over again to his disciples. I love you, but never forget, I did something for you. Is that love? Is this what Jesus or Paul ever taught? What if Jesus had said, hey, lady, he's standing up there with Pontius Pilate, make your choice. Hey, lady, remember I raised your little girl from the dead. Talitha kumi. You owe me. We hear that? How about the one where he brought Lazarus out of the tomb? He says, all you people that saw that, wasn't that great? You owe me. Never. Never. I died on the cross for you. You owe me. No. Pontius Pilate, it's no wonder that he washed his hands. He said, I'm not believing this. You would actually choose Barabbas over this man who has done so much for you? Where is your love? It's hard to picture Pontius Pilate like that, but I bet he was. He was shocked. Genuine love is not a favor, it's a fact. If you love someone and you do something for someone, it's not that they owe you. You did it out of love. There is no, I will love you if, to Jesus or to Paul. It's just, I love you. Love should bring joy, peace, a feeling of safety, and yes, even some humor. It's like the young man. Now, I bet you Jim Spears probably already heard this story. But there's this young man, and he was all excited. He had gone off to college. He called his mother, and he said, Mom, I met the girl of my dreams. And she was so happy for him, and she said, what are you going to do? He says, well, I don't know what to do. She said, I tell you what, call her, invite her over, spend some time with her, and have a nice meal. She'd love that. Invite her to your apartment and have dinner with her. So the mom calls back a few days later to find out what happened. He says, Mom, it was horrible. It was the worst date of my life. And she said, why? Didn't she come? He said, oh, yeah, she came, but she refused to cook. Is love perpetual happiness? No, it is not. And we would not want to fool ourselves to think that it is. Look at our Lord and Savior and His life and what happened. Being abandoned, being nailed to a cross, hearing all kinds of horrible criticism as He walked this earth. And He loved everybody. It's not without its own type of pain. But when we talk the pain and suffering of being a Christian, of agape love, we are looking at when we lose a loved one, it hurts. There is pain and suffering when we lose a loved one, someone that we've become so close to. As for hardships, genuinely, when you love someone who goes to war, you watch them go off to war, and there's pain knowing that they're gone and that they could be killed. And even worse yet, perhaps, when they come back from war and they're missing a limb or an eye. And you look at him and you think, this isn't the person I married. This isn't the person I gave birth to. It's tough. Love is hard. But it calls on us to be faithful, not only to ourselves and to the Lord, but to one another. Jesus genuinely loved his disciples. He genuinely loved them. Even when they ran after he was arrested, even when Peter denied him three times, he loved him. because he understood we're all human. We all make mistakes. That's what happens in life. Genuine love is hard. I'm going to tell you the story about a little boy named Rigo. And I say little boy, but he was 15 years old and he was part of a gang. And Rigo found himself incarcerated. Gang member. Got arrested and put in prison. One day, Rigo had worked his way up to the point where he helped the pastor in the prison set up for worship. And as he was setting up things, the pastor asked him, "Is your father going to be here today?" And he says, "No, not my father. He's a heroin addict. He's not really a part of my life anymore." The pastor looked at him and started to walk away, and Rigo said, "But I want to tell you something. When I was about 4 years old, no, I take that back. I was closer to 10. I came home from school early because I got in trouble, got sent home. So when I got home, my father asked me, 'Why did they send you home early?' Well, I knew that my father beat me all the time, so I tried to preface it, and I said, 'Daddy, if I tell you, you promise not to hit me?' And the father said, 'Yeah, I'm your father. Of course I'm not going to hit you.' So he told his dad. At that point, Rigo, as he spoke to his pastor, broke down crying. He began sobbing. He was weeping to the point that he was shaking and rocking back and forth. The pastor put his arm around him and calmed him down, and finally he looked at him. Rigo said, "He beat me with a pipe. He beat me, and he beat me, and he beat me." Then he started crying again. The pastor held him and he said, "What about your mother?" And Rigo looked over and he said, "That little woman right there is my mother." Pastor looked at her. Rigo said, "Let me tell you something about my mother. She comes every Sunday since I've been incarcerated, and I've been here 18 months, and she has come every Sunday to see me. And you know how many buses she has to take to get here?" Pastor shook his head. Rigo said, 7. "Every Sunday, my mother takes 7 buses to be here and visit me. Every Sunday." He said, "Can you imagine?" Pastor had nothing to say. But I say, think about agape love. Would you take 7 buses to help a neighbor? Would you be so faithful as to help consistently when your neighbor needs help, your spouse, your children? Love is hard. And I say in the gospel, the hardest thing that is ever described is love. Because I'm one of these people who believe that if we were betrayed, as Jesus was, if we were denied, as Jesus was, if we were treated as harshly as Jesus was, I think most of us may not be so loving. We might want revenge. We might want to be mean. We might cut someone off emotionally. We might cut someone off physically. It doesn't matter. We'd cut them off. Because love is hard. The hardest thing you'll read in the Gospels. It's the hardest thing you're reading from Paul right now. Love is love is love. And for us to do anything other than to love those around us is a betrayal of what Jesus taught. We have a God who takes 7 buses just to arrive at us. There isn't anything God wouldn't do for us. There isn't anything God wouldn't do for us. Paul says, in essence, Jesus showed us the heart of God, the God who will take a long journey of love to find us so we can be one with Christ. And folks, being one with Christ is love. Otherwise, it's desire. I desire you, Lord, but I don't want to work so hard as to be like you, because that's hard. Genuine love is hard. Are you one with Christ? Are you one who is actually trying to be more Christ-like? Or are you just kind of going along for the ride? Love is hard. Let us pray. Lord, we desire to be one with you. We ask that you work in our hearts and in our minds that we may actually become one with you, that we may actually do your bidding, that we may actually show the love for our fellow human beings as you showed for your disciples. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, fill us with love, and fill us in our going out, that all may know we are yours by showing love. For we ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.